So good evening, everyone. The topic for this January intensive, life, death, bardo, rebirth, everything falls away, grew out of our reading of the Book of Joy and its mention of the clear light meditation, clear light of death meditation, which the Dalai Lama practices 5 times every day. And also from mentions that I've made recently about, when Sangha members have died. And I've mentioned the bardo, and I've mentioned the 49 days spent there and memorials done every 7 days during this period, and especially on the 49th day. So it seemed like it was time to actually spell out more clearly for all of us what I'm referring to when I mention those things, and to talk about this teaching in a more systematic way. So that's what I'm going to attempt to do tonight. The whole point of the clear light of death meditation and the bardo teachings is awakening, enlightenment, Buddhahood. If you remember one thing, just remember that. The whole point of the clear light of death meditation and the bardo teachings is awakening. I don't claim to actually know what happens when we die, but Tibetan Buddhists have a very sophisticated sense of what does, and it's outlined in the well-known Tibetan Book of the Dead. And I'm sorry, but my computer doesn't seem to be plugged in, and I'm going to have to do that. Thank you. Okay, so the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which is better translated, that was kind of westernization of the title. The title really is The Great Liberation Through Hearing in the Bardo. The Great Liberation. The Great Book of Natural Liberation Through Understanding in the Between. The Between being a translation of the word bardo. And I think it's important to pay attention to those titles, because death actually is an amazing adventure and a great mystery, not a somber disaster. In between the karma of this life and the karma of next, there is infinite possibility. We can abide within the nature of mind and enter into enlightenment and Buddhahood. That's the potential. These teachings also exist in our own tradition, and I'll talk about that more next Monday night. Tonight, most of what I say is drawn from Tibetan teachings. So from the Buddhist point of view, what we Westerners call the moment of death, when breathing has ceased and the heart stopped and the brain function has ended, it's not actually the moment of death. From the Tibetan perspective, we are actually still alive. And it's from this point that the clear light of death meditation begins. And it recounts the disintegration of the being, the dying of the being, because we aren't dead yet, we're dying, into clear light. That's the meditation we just did tonight. And except that we also came back into this life, because we aren't actually dead. This meditation takes us through the disintegration of the 5 elements, earth, air, fire, water, earth, water, fire, air, and space from coarse to fine, and along with them the five skandhas, which are what our being is comprised of: form, sensation, thought, activity, and consciousness. And then it moves through, that's from earth to space, and then it moves through four stages of rarefying consciousness, the last of which is the experience of clear light. This clear light is free of duality and content and abides in the form of pure luminosity. And it's experienceable in this life, actually. All beings experience this clear light at the time of dying. And this is the point at which one can become enlightened, become Buddha, if one's paying attention and notices the moment of clear light, the Dharmakaya, the state of total oneness, would be other ways of putting it. And many people don't even know that it's happened, it is said. Reverend Master Jiu said that all of us experience Kensho at the time of dying. And this is what she's referring to, this clear light. We can experience this Kensho with or without becoming enlightened or becoming Buddha. During the disintegration described in this meditation, we're letting go of one layer after another of all the obstructions which stand in the way of recognizing our already enlightenment, that we are already Buddha. When all those obstructions dissolve, we experience the clear light or clear light mind, which is the original nature of the mind. So death is a great stripping away of obscurations, including the body, to reveal what the Tibetans call bliss, void, indivisible, which is the union of compassion and emptiness, shunyata. All we are being asked to do is to relax completely and let go utterly. Just let go. And this is one of the purposes, as you all know, of our seated Zen meditation practice, Zazen. During Zazen, we let go of whatever arises in each moment, from one moment to the next, one after the other. Let go, let go, let go. And this prepares us exactly for what is needed as we die, so that we may die well in a way that is of help to ourself and to all beings. And this is why it's called the Great Liberation, because we become free of all that obstructs Buddhahood and all that obstructs us from fulfilling the Bodhisattva vow, to be liberated into Buddha so that we can save all beings. So this is our big chance. It's our opportunity to not be reborn again, to step off the wheel of samsara, to step out of the never-ending cycle of birth, suffering, and death, and to enter nirvana. Dying or death is one of the greatest adventures of our lives, something we might even look forward to, though we don't want to hurry it. But in fact, in spite of what I've just said, we can't not be reborn. Karma and consciousness can't be eradicated, just as energy can't be eradicated. When we die, karma and consciousness are what is left. So what this means from a Mahayana point of view is that we will no longer take birth involuntarily. So what it means to not be reborn again means we won't take birth involuntarily, driven by our karmic propensities. No more rebirths really means no involuntary rebirths determined by and dragged around by self, dragged by unconscious, self-centered, egotistical instincts. Rather than reacting, we can choose. And again, this is what meditation teaches us and habituates us to. Instead of being driven by karma, we come back through the very powerful forces of compassion and wisdom, with the aspiration to save all beings from suffering and to help them become Buddha. So remember that samsara and nirvana are both right here. Nirvana is not somewhere else, somewhere we go to apart from this world. The word bardo is a Tibetan word which means in between, or gap, or intermediary stage, or transition. Transition. We're actually always transitioning. The bardo of dying begins with a dying process and ends in ground luminosity. This is followed by the luminous bardo of dharmata. I'm just giving you some technical terms here. Which is the luminous bardo of dharmata is an experience of the natural radiance of mind or of mind's original nature. And the clear light of death meditation describes these two bardos, ground luminosity and the luminous bardo of dharmata. They are preceded by the bardo of living, which is the time between birth and death, where we are now. And there's a fourth bardo, the bardo of becoming, which lasts from the experience of clear light up to taking rebirth. Okay? Because of impermanence, and because we are always in each moment coming into being and disintegrating, we are always in a bardo. When we die, at the end of this life we are in now, and the body becomes completely useless and ultimately disintegrates into other elements in new configurations, it's our karma and consciousness that continue on. Karma and consciousness. As Robert Thurman says, nobody gets out of here dead. In the bardo of dying, we drop everything except consciousness, though consciousness becomes extremely rarefied and we find ourselves on the border of consciousness and subconsciousness. And if we don't recognize the clear light, we enter into the bardo of becoming. And it is here that our karma can act upon us. The bardo of becoming is the bardo in which we're choosing rebirth, being either choosing or being forced into rebirth. So I want to make a short digression here on karma. According to the Buddhist teachings, and other faiths may talk about karma, but in a different way, karma is action and consequences in the moral, ethical realm. Wholesome actions have wholesome effects, and unwholesome actions have unwholesome effects. And if we cultivate unwholesome states of mind and speak and act from them, we create patterns and habits in the mind which have an energy that propels us both in this lifetime and after death. If we create wholesome states of mind and think and act from them, our actions will reduce harm, help to end suffering, and bring happiness or liberation to beings. interestingly, the energy from these actions do not create habit energy, which propels us. I'm talking about the energy from wholesome actions. They don't create habit energy, which propels us. These actions liberate us into playing in the fields of samsara. So we can come back to this life, help beings play. We're able to act creatively and liberatively to be of benefit to self and others. When we die, this liberated energy frees us to let go completely and recognize the clear light and enter into it fully without fear. And I would add parenthetically that intention is very important here. If our intention is wholesome, this ameliorates the negative karmic effect if our thoughts, speech, and actions have an unforeseen, unwholesome consequence. So this is why it is said that our last thought before dying is so important in determining what happens next, because that last thought will propel us into a different kind of experience of the bardo. The idea is that the energy of this thought will propel us into enlightenment, or it will propel us into another rebirth, more or less full of suffering, depending on the nature of that thought. Now, I don't think that everything depends on our last thought, quite frankly. I don't think it's going to work, except in very unusual cases, to shift the forward momentum of our karma, which is so strong, at the last second. If we've been hateful and murderous all our lives, this will continue, even if our last thought is how we loved our mother. But if we've been training and wishing others well consistently, a last thought of regret isn't going to undo all that. So the last thought, I don't think, is completely determinative. This is also why it's impossible to not be reborn. Some kind of energy is going to move forward into a new life, even though that life could be the life of Buddha. Now, if you miss the clear light and aren't enlightened at that point, you enter into the bardo of becoming, as I said earlier. And the symbolic tradition is that you remain here for about 45 days. In the bardo of becoming, you will first see a series of very bright lights, which represent the five wisdom Buddhas, accompanied by dull lights, each of a different color. So the wisdom Buddhas are appearing to you. The bright lights are so bright that they can arouse fear or even terror, and we may not want to go towards them. The dull lights seem comforting and comfortable, and we are drawn to them. But what we must do at this point is go straight to the bright light in each instance, for each of the five wisdom Buddhas. And if you go once into the bright light, that's it. You're liberated. The bright light is where freedom lies, and the dull lights are where karma propels us. So these dull lights lead us to rebirth in one of the six realms: the realm of the deities, the realm of the fighting gods, the human realm, the hungry ghost realm, the animal realm, or the hell realm. Those are the six traditional realms in Buddhism. If you don't enter into one of those bright lights, you will then see manifestations of great compassion appearing to you. Deities representing great compassion, could be Avalokiteshvara, trying to help you. And at each point, we are constantly given another chance. This is the thing about the bardo. Whatever's going on, it's a chance for you to become liberated. at any point along the way, you have the freedom to let go of the self and of self-judgment and to recognize your own inherent purity, your inherent oneness with all that is. And should you choose to recognize it, you enter into the clear light immediately from whatever point you are at in the bardo. So these beings of great compassion are there to help you do this and to remind you that liberation is always possible, as it is in the bardo of living, the bardo we're in right now. If you don't heed the encouragement of these beings, fierce and wrathful deities will appear to you, and you will encounter horrific and frightening scenes. It all sounds very dramatic and intense. These beings are actually beings of great love and great compassion, just like the benevolent beings in the previous scenes. And they appear in this fierce and wrathful form because you didn't recognize them in their previous benevolent forms. I think this is important to remember. All these beings are there to help you. Liberation is always possible should you choose it. But we have to choose. You'll then see scenes of horror and terror, monsters, fierce winds driving you about, floods, fires, earthquakes, darkness, extreme heat and cold, all kinds of terrors. Your consciousness is so subtle that you're very impressionable, and the mind changes instantaneously and in a nanosecond over and over again as you are tossed about by the forces in this bardo. If at this point you don't choose liberation, your karma will propel you into rebirth. You begin to see couples copulating, and we long more and more deeply for rebirth. This world begins to seem comforting and warm and nice, the comfortable alternative to the terror that we're now experiencing. And at some point, desire becomes overwhelming, and we become extremely attracted to a particular copulating couple. We're propelled into the womb of the female and are reborn from this womb. So the time from death to this rebirth is said to be 49 days, but that's not exact. It's different for everybody. And that's why we emphasize doing a memorial for someone who has died on the 49th day after death. We're trying to do everything we can to encourage the dead person not to miss this last chance at liberation. That said, it's taught that all that we see and experience in the bardo is a projection of our own minds. This doesn't mean that it's simply illusion, nor does it mean that it doesn't exist. But it's the same with this world. This world is construed by how we see it. And in that sense, it's a projection of our own mind. In fact, it is empty, shunyata. And so are the images in the bardo. It's important to recognize our experience in the bardo as projections, because this means that they actually cannot harm us. However terrifying they may appear, there's nothing to be afraid of. And it is said that the most important thing when in the bardo is to not be afraid. Dying is completely safe. Sogyal Rinpoche in the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying describes this whole process that I've just gone through in three stages. The first is the ground luminosity, or the Dharmakaya, the intrinsic nature of mind as emptiness. Blue sky mind, I like to call it. And this occurs immediately after the body has completely dissolved or disintegrated, and the ordinary mind has dissolved or disintegrated. And this is clear light mind, the Dharmakaya. The second stage he calls intrinsic radiance, or the bardo of Dharmata. This is the Sambhogakaya. The intrinsic nature of mind is luminosity. Luminosity, that's where the five Buddhas appeared that I described with the bright lights and the dull lights. The intrinsic nature of mind is luminosity. Energy begins to assemble in the form of colors, lights, and sounds, all of them blissful. And then finally, there's the bardo of becoming, or nirmanakaya. Nirmanakaya is physical manifestation in a body. And energy coalesces into mind, which takes rebirth based on karma and how the karma is driving us. So notice that we leave or don't recognize ground luminosity and intrinsic radiance, the first two steps, because self arises or grasping arises. And then pure energy begins to solidify into a body. So the self arising or grasping arising is really key. That's the thing to avoid in the bardo and in this life. So when the self arises or grasping arises, and they could be said to be the same thing, in this way we leave enlightenment and we're directed by the force of karma. Unless we've agreed to be a bodhisattva and return to the human realm to save all beings. And we can always choose to let go of self. So that's the teachings on what happens to us after we die. I frankly am quite sure about the clear light mind, that really is a state into which we all enter after we die. But the question arises is, what has this got to do with us now? We're not Tibetan Buddhists. And you wonder, you know, do we need to spend our lives doing death and dying meditations so we're prepared for the moment of death and worrying about whether we'll see the clear light or not when we get there? And what happens to us if we don't? And what if we are afraid? And all of that kind of thing, you know, those sort of natural human wonderings. Now, I would say that adage, as you live, so shall you die, is relevant here. Maybe not in the same form as doing clear light of death meditation practice constantly. But if you live a life of training, you're going to die within a life of training. That's going to sustain you and come with you as you are dying and into death. And the Buddhist practice that we do is perfectly designed to prepare us for all of this, all that I've talked about, exactly as it already is, exactly as our Buddhist practice already is. So we don't need to do anything differently. Though practicing the clear light of death meditation may help to familiarize ourselves with one aspect of the dying process and could be useful in that way. But it's not essential. What is important are things that we already do, like purify your karmic stream now. And this is a major aspect of our practice. We work to prevent the arising of the defilements and to promote the arising of wholesome mind states. We work to do that which brings an end to suffering. We work to bring an end to speech and actions that cause harm, and to speak and act in such ways as to bring about the good or wholesomeness. That is, we keep the precepts. So this is something we're already doing. Secondly, at death, awareness is what really matters. Awareness. And in our meditation practice, we train ourselves to return to awareness over and over again. Coming back to what is happening right now in body, mind, and the world. And in daily life, we practice mindfulness, awareness of what we're engaged in. So steadying the mind in awareness, as we do in our practice, when we die, this is all we need to do. Letting go of everything, steadying the mind in awareness. And that brings me to letting go. Practice letting go now, as we do. Let go of whatever you are attached to. This doesn't mean becoming indifferent. It means practicing real love. Love that is not attached. Let go of everything the self desperately clings to. And don't believe everything you think. Remember that the way we see the world is a product of our own minds. What arises after death are projections of our own mind. This doesn't mean they don't exist. It means they can't harm us. So don't believe them. There's nothing to fear. And finally, I would say, drop off unworthiness now, including any idea that you aren't Buddha, aren't enlightened, or in any way don't deserve to be Buddha, or don't deserve to be enlightened, or in any way aren't capable of enlightenment and Buddhahood. Drop it. With impure love, there is no judgment. Any judgment that arises after death comes from yourself. And those judgments allow karma to propel you into rebirth. Don't buy into them. Let go of the judgmental, critical mind now. So as you are dying, what's important? Three short sentences. Be free of attachment and aversion. Keep your mind pure. And unite your mind with the Buddha. Be free of attachment and aversion. Keep your mind pure. And unite your mind with the Buddha. We can prepare for death by living now as we already are, enmeshed within the teachings and practices of the Buddha. The Bardo teachings as a whole are meant to instruct the practitioner in two fundamental things. Death is not something to be feared, and after-death experiences can be utilized for our own benefit. Not only is death not to be feared, it needs to be appreciated as affording us an opportunity for transformation. It signifies a freedom from all constraints that constrain us while alive. Family, obligation, social connections, physical impediments, spiritual problems, etc. There's a Tibetan master who said that the true measure of spiritual development is how one confronts one's own mortality. The best way is when one is able to approach death with joy. Imagine that, approaching death with joy. Next best way is without fear. And the third best is at least to not have any regrets. So I would close by saying that dying is not an ending to be feared, but a wondrous and liberating culmination of our life's journey, potentially opening into glorious new beginnings. Thank you.